Let's focus on the Lord and the things that he's done in our lives. Let's just give him a few minutes, Lord. Lord, we just give you thanks. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, as we enter into our message, Lord, I would ask that you would bless this time. Lord, that you would bless this congregation, Lord. Lord, we also ask that you would bless Pastor Ray as he's in travel, that you would give him traveling mercies. Lord, as he comes forward next week to come back to work, that you would give him new vigor, that you would give him new insight, Lord, into the things and the directions and whatever it is that you would have for us. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Oh, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence this morning during worship. We just thank you for all that you do in our lives and the blessing that you are to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were going to do tithes and offerings, but I think we're in such a spirit right now, we need to do the message, and we'll do all that later. God is amazing, is he not? Anybody ever see the movie Oliver Twist? Right? Oliver Twist, beginning of the movie, he comes up, it's a play also. He comes up in the movie and he's, "Can I have another bowl of porridge, please?" Right? And they're like, "Another bowl of porridge? What's wrong with you?" Right? How many of us in our prayer life approach God like that? How many of us approach God with, "God, could you please just..." Is that how God wants us to approach? God does not want us to approach that way. And today, we've gone over the last 3-4 weeks, we've talked about faith, and the Lord led me to prayer. We are going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about taking ground. We're going to talk about how to approach God in prayer. We're going to talk about how do we overcome the things of this world. It has been an amazing journey over the last 3 weeks. I've been involved in a situation where I actually saw a Satanist post on Facebook who said that every Christian out there is afraid of Satanists and afraid of witches. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you what. I started praying against that person. I started praying that God would touch his heart. I started praying that situations in his life, that he would either bend his knee or the enemy would come against him and not us. Guys, our prayer lives is extremely important. We can no longer be victims. We need to be victors. We need to come to God with the authority of heirs to the throne. Heirs to the throne don't say, "Hey, could we please..." No. We say, "Hey, this is the way it is. We're heirs." So when we're going to start in Philippians 2, and then we'll be going to Ephesians 6, but we're actually going to end up with the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. So Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." One of the first principles in prayer is that we pray not always for ourselves, that we pray for everybody around us. We don't come with haughty or really self-conceited or selfish prayers. How many of us do that? I do it. I have to admit, we all do it sometimes. "Lord, I really like a raise. God, could you give me a raise?" Right? We pray prayers like that, right? And so some of that stuff is really kind of about us. It's not necessarily what God has for us. Sometimes we need to be stuck where we are and need to be willing to deal with what we have. We need to be humble in our lives. one of the first and primary roles as believers in Jesus Christ, if we are going to pray, is we need to be humble. We need to be people that come to the throne understanding that He is the King and we are the servant. We look at Ephesians 6:18, praying always in all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. All of our prayers should be prayed in the Spirit, not in our flesh. That's the second thing that will bind us, that will block us from having our prayers answered. We love our flesh, guys. But the flesh is why we're victims. The flesh is why we are stuck in our patterns of behavior, why we are bound where we are, where we're stuck. How many people get stuck? Anybody ever been stuck? I have. We get stuck. And how do we not get stuck? We begin to pray in the Spirit. And to pray in the Spirit, there are some things that I'm going to go over in a bit that we need to do. Because prayer is ultimately what? Conversation with God. Anybody ever have straightforward conversation with God? God, I'm really mad right now, and I want to take that dude's head clean off. But I'm not going to do it because you said it's bad to murder. But we do do that, though, don't we? We have times when... Is that better? Okay. We have times when we are hurt, we're stuck, we're in battlement, and we don't know what to do. But as we're praying in our spirit, we also need to pray in perseverance and for other people. Because praying for other people reminds us that we're not alone. And let me tell you, folks, my phone number is in the directory. You are not alone. If you have a problem, call us. We will pray with you. I get 5 to 6 phone calls a day from one individual. I get multiple calls. It is okay to call. It is okay to say I have problems and I can't do this on my own. It is okay. We have a counselor on staff for a reason. Because we have problems. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to persevere. Right? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it doesn't come to us and say, hey, you know what? We're just going to have a fluffy life and we're going to be cool. No. It says expect trials and tribulations. Because what happens on the other side of those trials and tribulations is God is revealed in your life and you grow. Right? All right. So prayer ultimately is a lifestyle. I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I'd like to raise it. How many people pray more than 2 hours a day? How many people pray more than 1 hour a day? Okay, that means the rest of you are praying less than 1 hour a day. Okay? Guess what? We need to be people of prayer. If prayer is a lifestyle, then we need to be people of prayer. Why? Why is it important that we pray so much? Because ultimately our prayer life is a reflection of our desire to be with God Himself. That if we pray, we want to be with Him. If we are not in prayer, we kind of put Him on the wayside. When we are in prayer, God lets us know that our needs can be met and that He meets our needs. When God meets our needs, what happens to us? We begin to build deeper trust and love for God. And as we begin to build trust and love, our heart starts to line up more with the things of God and the things that God has for us. It is a cascading effect. And as our heart becomes to be more like God and we become more like Him, We become more alert to the things around us. Trust me, I live in a very weird world where I see things that most people don't want to see. Okay? It's okay, because this is where God has placed me. And I am okay with that. And as we watch God take us through the things and we're alert, we see different circumstances in people's lives. We see circumstances in our own lives. Anybody ever self-reflect and go, man, I really hate that about myself. God help me with that. Yeah, we all do that. We should all be self-reflective. We should all be looking inside of us and saying, God, clean me of this, or help me through this. Help me understand why I do this. You know, how many of us have been around the rabbit trail 4 or 5 times on the mountaintop? Yeah, I got a path, actually. It's a highway. But at the end of this, we see blessings, right? We see God bless us through the situations. And as God blesses us and our hearts line up with Him, we get joy in our life. And guess what? When you have God's joy in your life, everything comes together. You can be in the thickest trial and tribulation and you will be okay. And you know that you will be okay. You know that God loves you. You know that your heart was right, that you're doing the right things. You can begin to trust God, and it's all going to work out, no matter what the situation. We've seen God in this church heal bodies. We've seen God cast out demons in this church. And I don't want to get all freaky weird with people, because some people freak out when you talk about that stuff. But is that not what God told us to do? It is. The more we pray, the more we invest in God, the more God invests in us, and the more powerful and effective our prayers become. I've seen a situation where all we have been able to do is to pray for truth. That's it. Not some foofy, fluffy, 4-hour prayer. God, bring truth. Bring the truth. This is the only thing that we can stand on. Bring the truth, because the truth is truth. It cannot change. And Jesus is truth, right? Lord, protect me with your truth. And what I'm watching is God's faithfulness in this situation. People are beginning to see truth. People are going, wow, wait a minute. This is, and it's awesome to stand fast and to see God affect lives. It's not just one life. It's everybody in the circle that's going on. It's probably 20 or 30 people right now that are being affected at every level of this county. And it is amazing. And I praise God for that. Do you know your prayer pleases God? So you guys are children. Don't you like it when your kids come and talk to you? Right? Or when people talk to you to have communication? God wants you to talk to Him. God wants you to spend time pouring out your heart. Now, my wife and I were never blessed with children, but we're blessed with youth. And you want happiness when a young man calls you and says, Pastor Mark, I'm having problems. Can I talk? Then you know that you've reached them. You know that your prayers are being heard. You know that people are changing. Because in the past, what would happen is this young man would go off. He's calling and he's asking. As a pastor, that's one thing. But as a parent, I can only imagine to you that your child comes to you and says, hey, I need help. Reaches the inner parts of parents and allows them to feel the passion and the compassion for their children. And finally, we know that as we pray, it strengthens us against temptation. Anybody ever been tempted? Everybody raise your hand. Come on. We're all tempted, okay? Two hands is bad. All right. We're all tempted. If you don't think you're not tempted, then you're being tempted by not being tempted. Okay? We are all tempted. But it is Christ who lives in us. Amen. The Christ that dwells within us, that allows us to make decisions that are true, that are right, that are moral. Without morality, without Christ's morality in us, we can do whatever we want. We could go be like dogs. We could go do whatever we want to do. There is no right or wrong. You can do literally what you want to do. But Christ, who is in us, says, no, we have standards, and we live by them. And by those standards, we can resist temptation because we know what the truth of God's expectations are to us. So, he gives us a prayer. Jesus is doing the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives us a model prayer. I'm going to read a few pages, or a few verses, not pages, wow, beforehand. But, and yes, glasses help, sorry. So Matthew 5 through 19 is what we're going to read. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows things you need before you ask him. And as we go forward, after that is the Lord's Prayer. So he gives us a model here. He tells us, do not pray like the hypocrites. How do hypocrites pray? What's to be the hypocrite? Lord, bless all those people over there. Give them all that they need. Lord, sanctify them. And then they're spending the night with prostitutes. Okay? Or they're stealing. That's hypocrites. Saying one thing and doing that same thing. You ever see people stand in street corners and pray and preach and all that stuff? Now, some of that's street ministry, I got that. But there are some people that really want to hear themselves speak. They really want to hear their voice echo to the heavens. They're the only ones that can pray. And that's always a danger. I just told Pam and Liz this morning, like, we have a discernment team, and we pray for things, and we need to pray for the property and the back border to be sealed. That's one of the things that, as the leadership came together and prayed for the project, it was one of the things that we needed to do. Pastor Ray wanted me to get it done. Well, guess what? My life is crazy right now. Okay? So guess what? We assign it. I know that I can trust those ladies to go do the business and take care of business. And it's not just for me, it's for this church. It does not have to be about us, okay, in prayer, like people in the street. It has to be about Jesus Christ. It has to be about things of God. It has to be for His glory. Because really, Scripture is right. The reward is, when you're sitting there praying and people will come up to you and be like, oh, that was a really good prayer, man. Woo! Rock on. You know? As I prepare sermons, I don't prepare these out of my head. I seek God. I ask Him, what scriptures do you want me to use? Where do you want this sermon to go, Lord? This stuff is all about God preparing and God's Word. I pray that God gives me words. My wife prays for me before the service. God, give him the words to speak. Everything is about God revealing to us what he has for us. It is not about me. It is not about us. So we are to go in a private room and to pray. Shut the door. It doesn't have to be in your closet. I know there's people that pray in their closet. I got that. I know there's people that you could pray wherever you are, but pray in quiet. You can't really pray with the TV blaring, the music, crazy music going on, kids screaming. Find a quiet place, wherever that place is, and pray. Do you want to change in your life from victim to victor? Then pray. There are so many victims in this county. When I drive down the street, I see their faces. They're sad. They're angry. They're mad at themselves. They're mad at their life situations. They're apathetic. There are all these things that go on. They don't pray. They don't seek God. Seek God. Do not be like the heathens. Seek God. Spend time in prayer. For in that you will find your rewards. Your rewards will be in you. The rewards will be in yourself, in the contentment that you have, in the growth that you have. And I know this is scary, in the ministry he may have for you. That's scary right there. That freaks people right out. My God, God's going to use me? Ah, what do I do? Let him. Let him use you, because your words may be the only words that can touch somebody's life. So we all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That is the kingdom. Woo-hoo! All right, so amen. Now, sermon's over. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I know. This is the model prayer. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is the base of this model prayer. Our Father, God made flesh, says our Father in heaven. God, right, in heaven, hallowed be your name. God's name is holy above all other names. Amen. We so often make prayer this complex ritual and rite, and it doesn't have to be, okay? But we do need to give honor to God in our prayers. We do need to remember that based on this verse, we have direct access to God himself through the blood of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, who Jesus had to leave this earth so we could have. Right? We have direct access to God himself. I find that amazing. Who am I that God would give me access? Who am I that God would allow me to pray for people? Who am I that God would just so put on my heart the needs of people? Who am I? It's one of the things I struggle with. Sometimes I don't always see the bigger picture that God has. Many times it's just me being willing. But God, the answer to that question is, who am I? I am his child. Ultimately, all of us that believe in Jesus Christ are his children. And all of us have access to God himself directly. And we need to have that access. We need to do that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back. Scripture is clear. What is God's will? Is it God's will that I would have infirmity? Is it God's will that I would have torment? Is it God's will that I would have to deal with multiple issues in my life? Is it God's will that people that don't believe are making all kinds of money and living a comfortable life, and I suffer? Good questions. It's God's will that every person on earth would come to Him. That's God's will, first and foremost. We have to always remember that we live in a fallen world. And in the fallen world, people make bad decisions. In a fallen world, we live in trial and turmoil because of sin, because of what Adam and Eve did. We live in this place that is always in turmoil and has been in turmoil since Adam and Eve. Your will be done. Your will is salvation. That's God's will, salvation. And then through that salvation, we are willing to go do whatever it is God asks us to do. That's God's will. What are you guys willing to do? That's a question you should start asking yourself. What was it, Jerry, about 8 years ago? 8 years ago, God said, I need you to start praying against demonic. I need you to step into the role of a discernment pastor. And let me tell you what, I was shaking in my boots. Okay? I have seen things that would make a billy goat puke. Okay? Straight up. I have seen things that are so scary. I have come face to face with demons. I have come face to face with people with black eyes, and they were praying for them, casting demons out of them. I don't do that in my will, because I ain't strong enough. I am not strong enough to do that, but I am in Jesus Christ. We prayed not so long ago for the lady's sister to be healed. She had cancer, and she was healed. We didn't do that. God did. God did. God's will for us, and this is my perspective, is the greatest commandment. And what is the greatest commandment that God has for us? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The only part of that is about us loving God. The rest of it is about taking care of everybody around us. We are a community. We are a body of believers, and there's other bodies of believers, but this is our body. This is our congregation. We need to be praying for each other. Pray for Pastor Ray. Pray for my wife. She needs lots of it. Only because she's married to me. But pray, guys. Pray for Pastor Sid. You know, she sits hour after hour talking with people about things going on in their lives. Pray that she gets discernment. Pray that Pastor Ray comes back and he's refreshed and ready to go. And pray against some of the wiles of the enemy. We can do that. Pray for lost souls to come to Christ. Pray for our school systems to let kids have Christian churches or Christian, oh, that'd be great, Christian clubs in their churches or in their schools. I've got a young lady in our youth group that wants to start a Christian club in a school, which by law is legal, and she's getting pushback from the teachers because they don't want it. Okay? Pray. If we truly love our neighbors as ourself, we need to pray for them. Because we want people to pray for us, right? We need to start praying for people. At the board meetings every month, we pray for certain families in an alphabetical list. We are praying for you guys as leadership. We're praying for God to bless you. We're praying against the things that are going on in your life. Pray. Next verse says, give us our daily bread. How many people believe that's to meet our needs? It's Jesus. Give us Jesus daily. Jesus is the bread of life. Do you not want Jesus every day? I do. Okay? If we do not have Jesus every day, what happens? Fall away. Every day we should be adoring and worshiping Jesus for who he is. Seeking God. Because as we feast on Christ and who he is in our life, he gives us what we need. He gives us the things that are important to us. You know, it's always funny. People will tell us, well, God's not giving me what I need. And I look at them like, well, what do you need? Well, I need a 22-foot boat. And I need, do you really need a 22-foot boat? No. You need food. You need a place to stay. Needs versus wants. Christ must be our first need. And in that first need, he will meet every one of our other needs, not necessarily our wants. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespassers. Forgive us our... I have debts and as we forgive our debtors. So how many of us have ever been offended by somebody? Yeah! So all of us have offended somebody or trespassed or done something wrong against, other than Pastor Ray. But, you know, no, we all do. All of us do, guys. We all make mistakes. We all say something that's wrong. But we need to be people that forgive. For without forgiveness, there is division. And if there is division, then there is no body. The enemy wants to bring division everywhere. We have seen it in this congregation. A couple years ago, we saw division start to form. We need unity. Pray for unity. Pray. If you're praying for other people and they trespass against you, right? You can forgive them a lot easier because you have relationship with them, because you have love for them, because you have a passion for them. But what about that guy that's not a believer? Aren't we supposed to love them even more? Folks, we need to be people that love. We need to be people that can see God in every situation. Because he's there. He may be masked by a lot of polluted garbage or the world, but he's there. God is always beside us, right? He is faithful. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So as we're dealing with things, with people, he is walking beside us. And trust me, all of us get offended. We get our hackles up a little bit. Let's try to work through those things. We must also remember, how were we forgiven? Through God's grace. It is only by God's grace that we are saved. Through faith. Right? Grace. Offer grace. Doesn't mean we need to be doormats. Does not mean that we need to be punching bags. You could stand up for yourself. In fact, I encourage you to stand up for yourself. But we also need to offer grace. Because in that grace, people see true love. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Dr. Bloomberg believes it should say, do not let us succumb to temptation. Okay? We all are tempted in one way or another. There are days when it's difficult it's difficult to read the Bible. It's difficult to pray. It is difficult to have a cheery face. You know, all of us have a boss, and our boss yells at us sometimes when we do something wrong, and it's hard to be cheerful when that happens. All of us make those mistakes. But deliver us from the evil one. There is a true enemy out there, folks. And that true enemy is seeking to devour. He is seeking to kill. He is seeking to separate you from Jesus. And I have seen Christians do it that have walked away from Christ. I watched a young man be delivered from demons, five of them, to only 2 weeks later turn around and become a Muslim. Delivered 2 weeks later to become a Muslim. What do? You love them. And you shake your head a lot. God's kingdom. Well, let me back up. God's kingdom is communal, right? For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Whose kingdom is it? God's. Whose power is it? God's. And who's the glory for? What are we here? Woo! All right, sermon over. We are here for God. We are here for His kingdom. We are here to operate in His power. We are here to operate, to bring His glory, okay, to those around us. It's not about us. It is about Jesus Christ. We look at this county and we see things. I see patterns of behavior. Sid could probably tell you more patterns is what she deals with because she talks to people every day about their problems. But I see things from the past. I see wars that have been fought here. I see murders that have occurred here. I see addictions here, right? We see people that are living lies. We see people that are apathetic. We see people who are adulterous. And the list goes on. Guys, folks, it is our job as a body of believers to pray against these things. It is our job to pray for marriages in this church. It is our job to pray for the youth. It is our job to pray for our pastors. It is our job to pray for our youth leaders, kids' church leaders, our cleaners, whomever it is. It is our job to pray for them. It is our job to pray for the unsaved. Because if we're not praying for them, who is? No one. I came to Christ because a friend of mine prayed for 17 years. 17 years of faithfully praying for me. 17 years. Now he's praying for me even harder. I don't know how that works, but 17 years, folks. Perseverance. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, we look at a prayer that is not about being a punching bag or being stepping back. It is about engaging the world where the world is and taking and praying against the things that the enemy is trying to do. It is praying for people to make right choices. It is praying for people to walk in integrity. It is praying for love to flow. It is praying for unity. We don't always have to pray for the negative stuff. We can always pray for the positive stuff. Right? We have to be people willing to pray. Do you want change in this church? Do you want revival in this church? It is not through our power. is not through our authority. It is through God who will do that when he chooses to do that, when his will is lined up and it is ready. But guess what? Our role is to begin to pray for that. Our role is to begin to pray that people would not live in the agony and misery of their life. Pray for our young people. These kids are facing things that you can't even imagine sometimes with Facebook and the internet and all the stuff that goes on, right? Pray for them. It is our job. It is a requirement to pray. We can no longer make the excuses that we do not have time. We need to start making time. If you want change in your life, you want change in this church, you want to see God make miracles happen, we need to pray. Not that he isn't already doing that, but we need to pray more. Because they're directly connected. We must begin to be forgiving people. We must begin to be obedient people. We must be people that do not listen to the world's gossips. How much gossip goes on out there? You know, there's too much. I don't care what other churches do. I care what we do. I don't care what other how other youth programs are run. I care about our youth. Okay? We need to be people that begin to pray and pray for unity among churches, unity among marriages. Guys, I can't stress that enough, folks. God is coming, and we need to get ready. And there's only one way to get ready, and that is on our knees. How many of us want to see a breakthrough in our country? Have you prayed? Okay. How many people want to see people set free from addiction? Have you prayed? How many people see hurting people or wounded people and either talk to them or pray for them? How many of us see mighty moves of God? We need to begin to pray by faith. Believe that God brought the faith message that Pastor Ray had preached and Al had followed up on, because we need to grow our faith, folks. It is time. It is time for us to come out of the cocoon. It is time for us to step forward. We need to start loving people unselfishly. We need to pray for those around us. We need to be willing to pray. And we need to pray without vanity. And we need to be willing to actively pray. We can be like Oliver Twist and say, God, can I have another bowl of porridge? Or do we be like Jesus? He says, get up and be healed. Our prayer life matters. The way we pray matters. You know, standing in the gap. You know, this morning we prayed with the worship team, and my prayer was very specific. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, break chains. Remove the scales from eyes. Let worship be a time where we can grow closer to you. How awesome was worship this morning? Amen, right? It's because the Holy Spirit was here. Guys, take your prayers to the next level. Do not come as victims, but come as the heirs to the throne. Come with the honoring of God. Come with a willing heart. Come with love. And let's take some ground back. I am going to open the altar. Is there anybody that would like prayer? Or is there any prayer needs right now? I'm willing to pray. I'm tired, guys. I have to be honest with you. I'm tired of seeing people hurt. I am tired of seeing people damaged. I'm tired of seeing people live in poverty. I'm tired of seeing people addicted to pornography and alcohol and drugs. Because you know what that does? That hurts all of us in our community. That hurts all of us in this state. It's time. Change starts. Change has to start here. So any prayer concerns? I love it. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this. It's so important in our lives. Father, through the power of the Spirit, I ask that you begin to move in our lives, that we would become people that would be filled with prayer. Lord, petitions to your name. Lord, that you would begin to work in us and work through us, Lord. Lord, that we would pray for each other, that we would pray for the lost. We would pray against the bondages of this county, of this nation, of this world, Lord. Lord, that we would see captives set free. Father, we praise you and we give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, please.